Thank you to our choir for our anthem today. And I just have to confess, as I was picking hymns this week, I promise I did not know it said Crimson Tide in it. Right? I didn't, Tim, I promise. I saw that and I thought, oh my goodness. I promise it was for the grace. Well, what a treat it is to get to be with you today. Welcome, and what a joy it is to see David and Kristen Ayer, and I think Declan back there. It's good to have Declan here on his first Sunday with us, so what a blessing. And I also want to thank Tom Maxwell and Chris Taylor for joining us in leading worship today. What a blessing it is to see our laypersons taking action and serving and leading in worship. So thanks be to God for that. We're continuing today in our sermon series, as Tim mentioned earlier, on the seven deadly sins. And if you've not been with us, you missed some doozies. You missed gluttony, lust, anger, sloth, and greed. And we're going to continue today looking at envy and really looking at how these are not just harmful to us physically. They are harmful to us spiritually because they take away and get in the way of us being close to God. So I invite us to look today and be mindful that we're in the season of Lent, a time of self-examination when we're looking at how we can draw nearer to God. And definitely the sins of us take away from that time with God. So I invite us to be mindful today of where envy may creep into our lives, because it is there for us all. Our scripture today is from Matthew chapter 20. Verses 1 through 16, I hope this will be a familiar verse to you. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Hear these words. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in the vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go into my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were first hired, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only an hour. You have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my money? Or are you envious because I'm generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our collective hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. And Lord, may your Spirit continue to fill this place and especially fill our hearts, so that may we may hear what you have to say to us. May these words touch our hearts and use it to touch the lives of many others, O God, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I have to confess, weeks ago when I was thinking about the theme for today and looking at envy, what first came to mind is how often when I go out to eat, I make this statement: I've got food envy. Because when the food is delivered, I've placed my order, but I see what everybody else has, and I want that. I want what they picked out instead of what I picked out. And very often I will say, I've got food envy. I want that. That looks better. But friends, envy is so much more than just wanting what another person has, wanting their food, wanting their clothing, wanting their automobile. Envy is dangerous because it's hidden. I mean, how many of us have said, I'm feeling very envious today? We don't. We recognize when we're angry, greedy, maybe now even being slothful. But I dare say, I don't know of a time that I've said, I'm being very envious today. But I read somewhere that envy is one of the nastiest, ugliest of the seven deadly sins. And maybe after today, we'll see maybe why that is, because it sneaks into us without us even knowing. Well, the definition of envy is feelings of discontent. We're not happy with what we have. We want what someone else has, and we resent them having it. There's also a spirit of malice, a cruel piece to this word, that we wish ill will to someone. When our scripture today, Jesus, through this parable, begins where he's saying the kingdom of heaven is like this. The landowner goes out early in the morning, which is believed to be sunup, to hire workers in the vineyard, and those workers are hired for the day for one denarius, which is a normal day's pay. They're not going to get rich off it, but it's a meager way to supply for their needs. At the third hour, which is probably about 9 o'clock for us, they saw others not doing anything. And they said, well, go work in my vineyard, and I'll give you what is right. Kind of leaving it up to the justice, trusting that the landowner would do what is right. Well, about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, the same thing happens. Workers are sent out to the vineyard for some pay. But the 11th hour, with 1 hour remaining of work, this landowner sees people standing around and says, why are you standing here doing nothing? And they say, well, nobody's hired us, so we're just waiting. But with 1 hour left, he says, go. Go to my vineyard. And notice this time he didn't even say what he would pay them. He just said, go. Well, at the evening, it was time to be paid. The last workers were paid first, and they were paid 1 denarius. You recall that was the amount that the first worker, who had worked all day, was promised. So when those that were hired first, it was getting closer and closer to their time for being paid, can't you imagine what they were thinking? I can't wait to see what I'm going to get. It's got to be more, for I've worked a lot more hours and a lot harder than these people who worked 1 hour. But weren't they disappointed? For they were paid not what they changed their mind and expected they might get. They were paid what their contract was, what they agreed orally with the landowner. They agreed to work that whole day for that one amount, and that's what they got. Well, they grumbled with the landowner, telling him, well, this is not fair. They felt an injustice had been served. These people got much more, in essence, for they worked a shorter amount. But Jesus, in this parable, through the landowner, tells, didn't you agree to work for that? Take it and go. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my money? And here the landowner, Jesus uses this story to say, are you envious because I am generous? A powerful statement in showing Jesus' unfailing efforts to extend grace. Now, I dare say most of us can identify with those first workers. Yes, there was an agreement, but they had been working in the heat of the whole day. They had worked hard. They were fatigued. You know, they thought they had more coming to them. But they took up the nerve and they kind of went up and just fussed with the landowner, which was really something you didn't want to do. Don't make the landowner mad. You certainly probably won't have work tomorrow. But they did. They felt an injustice. They felt they had been treated unfairly. Well, I was reminded of back in elementary school, which you little ones will think, gosh, that was a long time ago, and it feels like it was a long time ago. But back in elementary school, I know when it was time for lunch or time for recess, the teacher would say, line up, we're going to recess, or line up, we're going to lunch, and there would begin that dance, that quick dance, that jostling of who's going to get to the front of the line, and we would elbow, and yes, I say we would elbow and try to get to the front of the line because I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be the first one on the playground to pick what I got to play with. I wanted to be the first one in line. But every now and then, the teacher that we were all nicely in line, we had claimed our space, the teacher would do something. She would take the line and she would reverse it. And she would say, okay, who's at the end? Come to the front. You're our leader today. And it made us all so mad. We had worked hard to get in that spot. And it probably wouldn't happen again. And how dare she? That wasn't fair in our little elementary minds. Friends, I think that's how the first workers were feeling in our story today. It didn't seem fair to them. They had secured something in their minds they thought was a better deal, more fair. Well, the first workers had difficulty. Not because the others were put to work, but because they got more. They got more than they thought they should have. But remember, this is a teaching moment for Jesus. Jesus is teaching us through this parable, teaching them in those days, that there was so much more at stake here. Because you remember, this scripture began by saying, for this is how you get to the kingdom of God. Well, there's also a little bit of controversy in this scripture because it challenged the conventional ways of justice and fairness. If you work for, you work hard and you work for a set number of hours, you get a set pay. But Jesus turned that all upside down, didn't he? For those who worked a short amount of time, got a lot more in some ways. But there was no justice here, injustice here. Because the first workers got exactly what they agreed to. Had those others never shown up, they would never have known any different. But their friends, they went further. They didn't just think about how badly they were being mistreated. They opened their mouth. They told another person, this is not right. This is not fair. How dare he? Can't you see the grumblings going on? Friends, that's envy. And we all possess envy. So Tim, you still got the goose egg. We all have envy. Even our animals. Many of you know I'm an animal lover, and for the past 8 years and until recently, I've had two dogs. And I learned something very early on, that you don't buy one toy. You don't buy a toy unless you can buy two of the exact same toys. So I thought I was so smart buying two of the exact same toys, give both dogs exactly the same toys. And I see some of you going, it didn't work. One was happy. One took his toy and wanted her toy. So he proceeded to go and take her toy away from her and bring it back to his toy where he had two. And I've actually seen times when this dog would try to take both toys in his mouth at the same time. Even the animal world is filled with this deadly sin. In the New Testament Greek, the phrase for envy is to have an evil eye, to look upon with evil. Well, think about what comes to mind for you when I say envy. Many of you might be thinking green with envy. And you wonder, those of us who like the color green may be thinking, why green? Why did green get the short end of the stick? But green is that color that really, when we look at, when people are using colors, it's a color to denote sickness. And that's what envy is. It's an internal sickness that on the inside makes us sick. It draws us away from God. Well, there's a story of a man in ancient Greece who was actually killed by his envy. For the story goes, the city had built a statue to honor their most famous athlete, the champion of the public games. And his arch rival was so envious, he declared, "I will take that statue down." And at night, he would creep up to the statue and he would pick and he would whittle and he would whittle and he would whittle away. And one night it happened. He compromised the foundation. He pushed and pushed to make it topple over. And it toppled okay, but it toppled on him. So you see where the success that he thought of what he was going to attain didn't exactly work out like he planned. Maxie Dunham wrote that envy is deadly. Envy is deadly. Not just because it sometimes literally destroys us, like in that example, because it will not let us live. We can't live the lives God created us to live with envy in us. It prevents us from living. It makes us focus more on other people than we're focused on God. Makes us want other people to be as unsuccessful and sometimes miserable as we sometimes feel on the inside. The sin of envy separates us from God because there's an absence of love. We can't have an envious thought and love at the same time. Now, I heard a quote this week, and I wasn't fast enough to get who said it, so if you know, please let me know. But it was a great quote nonetheless. It said, "When the human heart is full of self and sin, there's no room for God." When our heart is so full of sin, particularly envy, so consumed with who we are and what we think we deserve and what we think we want to have, there is no room inside us for God. And that's why it's evil. That's why it hurts us so badly. Well, there's a lot of evidence of envy in Scripture. And I know you could lift up quite a few. But think about it. Cain killed Abel because of envy. Joseph's brothers, they sold him into slavery because of envy. And friends, Jesus was handed over to Pilate because of envy. And I could keep going on and on and on with the list because it's all throughout Scripture where envy took over and contaminated. So what are the symptoms of envy? It's so much more than just wishing for that item. It's comparing ourselves with others. It's like keeping up with the Joneses. And we know that the Joneses don't really exist and they really don't have it all. But we try so hard to keep up with the other person. Another symptom of envy is wanting what another person has. And like our scripture, feeling that we deserve it. Not being satisfied with what we have. Another symptom of envy is that we want another person to envy us. We want them to look at us and go, "I want what she has." Can you see how sick that is? And to make us away from God, that is completely opposite of how the love of God is. Another symptom of envy is we want others to fail. Not only if we can't have what they have, we want them to fail at it. In Galatians, Paul names envy as one of the works of the flesh. And he says that work of the flesh can have no place in the kingdom of God. And you remember our scripture today began with how to prepare and to be part of the kingdom of God. So where does envy lie in you? If envy is truly in all of us, and it is so deadly, then how do we guard against it? How do we prevent envy from consuming us? Well, I share with you, I think we look at our blessings, for we're all blessed people. Look at the blessings in each day that we have been given. Another way to guard against it is extend compassion to someone. There's many people throughout a day that we can offer compassion and the love of Christ to. Another thing we can do to guard against envy is to love. Love one another, but also love in their celebrations. Celebrate with them. Be joyous with them in the blessing that they have received in that moment. Something else that we can do to guard against the deadly sin of envy is surround ourselves with the fruits of the Spirit. Also in Galatians 5. I hope you know what those are. That's how we can prepare and know that we are living in the Spirit of God when those fruits are evidence. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the things that we can look for to surround ourselves to help prevent envy from taking over and consuming and making us filled with that evil that takes us away from God. Well, nearly 3 years ago this fall, my grandmother died, and in the months prior to her death, she started divvying up her stuff. And there wasn't a wealth of stuff, but it was the items that were near to our family that had the most meaning. And she started saying, Mary Noble, I want you to have this, and I want your dad to have this, and I want your sister to have this. And as hard as many of you know, the hard difficulties of that time, it was very intentional on her part to be able to say what went where. And we didn't get completely through before she died. But as in most families, our family has one member who, let's just say, is not the nicest of all people. Maybe I'm the only one that has a person like that in your family. I hope so. But I dare say we all have someone in our family who's not the nicest, who's concerned about getting the best and the most for themselves, who really just wants the things of life. And in those days of this time of divvying and time of sorting out the things of this world, this person kept rearing her head. My grandmother was such a better lady than I, because she always, until the day she died, had hope that this person would come around, that this person would make an amend and extend love to her. And I'm sorry to say she did not do that. But my grandmother kept hope, kept extending, and kept sharing her things with this person as well. And I have to tell you, I had envy in me, because I didn't care for what this person, what I thought, was doing to my grandmother. It concerned me, and I thought I was being the good granddaughter, protecting my grandmother. I thought this person was filled with envy, and she was. But you know what? Looking back, yours truly was also filled with envy. Because not only did I not want her around, I didn't want her to have anything. And I caught myself, if I could figure out and guess what she might want, that all of a sudden came very important to me. And I'm sorry to say, I really would say, oh, I want that little bowl that I've never laid eyes on until that moment. I'm sorry to say I did that. But I realized that was envy on my part as well. That's how deceptive envy is to us. I was clear to see the envy in her, But I didn't see it at the time that I was doing the exact same thing. That's how sneaky, that's how deadly envy is, because it creeps in and we don't even know it. And it has its hold on us that we're away from God. Because I guarantee you, I couldn't have the thoughts I had about that lady and draw nearer to God in the same moment. Proverbs 14, verse 30 says, "A heart at peace gives to the body, but envy rots the bones." Isn't that something? A heart at peace gives to the body, but envy rots the bones. Friends, the grass is not always easier, greener on the other side. We remember how this parable began today. "For the kingdom of heaven is like that," he told the landowner. For Jesus, it's more than justice. It's more than the issue of money and who's getting paid what. It's about the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't hesitate when the first workers were grumbling to saying, "You're envious because I'm generous." Envy prevents us from recognizing God, God's generosity, the abundant grace that God gives to us on a daily basis. God's grace is given to us not because we deserve it, but because God's love is poured out upon us. Envy robs us of that love. It takes that love away from us. The sin of envy is deadly because it takes us away from God. Well, you know, in elementary school, when I was lining up, elbowing my way to try to get in line, and I know there's things today that we elbow and we try to nudge our way and advance ourselves and do those things that we think are going to get us where we want to get. This parable tells us today, it's okay. You have plenty, because our God is a God of abundance. Our God loves us and pours out the greatest gift that we could ever give, and that is grace and eternity. So we really have all that we need. We really can hope for nothing more. So, will we choose God's abundance, or will we choose envy? God's abundance or envy? May we leave here today choosing God's abundance that is poured out for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.